Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of the podcast, Holder's Experiment. I'm very grateful for every one of you tuning in to hear my podcast. I'm still at very early stage. My mother language is in English, and my speaking skills are not fluent at all. And it's also the very first time that I ever tried to speak for such a long time. So the flow of this episode is still not gonna be smooth. I'm gonna make a lot of errors, and I just gonna do it impromptu without any sort of script or any organization for speech, because that's the way how I operate. I think if I speak naturally, just speak whatever that comes in my head, then I tend to perform better. So because of all the reasons above, the episode you hear from this podcast is going to be very different from those more professional ones that you hear outside. Regardless of that, I'm still very grateful for you tuning in, and because I just freshly started this journey, and we can all work together to build up this podcast. I'm gonna keep on recording episodes and keep on improving, and so can you. You can also like start a new goal and work towards it, and we can keep each other accountable, and hopefully we can both achieve our end results in the future. So once again, thanks for listening to this podcast. So let's start episode 2 right away. So today is episode 2. It's not gonna be like the first episode where I gonna talk about a specific topic. But rather, I'm going to talk about a wide range of topics, like things that's happening recently, what I felt, and just a bunch of ideas and inspiration that I suddenly pops up in my mind that I'll talk about that. So I'll just quickly update what's going on in my life. Well, actually, I'm going to tell you my story first, because story is the most powerful tool in the world to convey our message and our feelings, to get connection, and to connect our own ideas, our own beliefs with other people. So last episode in my self-introduction, I said that I'm a university freshman, that I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm that startup wannabe, and basically that's all you know about me. So today I'm gonna talk more deeply into like how did I grow up, and also my hobbies and interests and other important big events that happened in my life. So I grew up in a traditional Asian family. It's like both of my parents, they're from mainland. I mean, I'm now like an official Hong Kong resident, and so are my parents, but back then they are actually from the mainland. They're from Shanghai. They got to Hong Kong and they just immigrated to Hong Kong later on. They worked there and had given birth to me and my older sister. My older sister was 10 years above me, and she's also an official permanent Hong Kong resident, but she spent her majority of the time in Shanghai. She particularly grew up there. And I grew up in Hong Kong, so we're separated for a long time, and because of the age difference, we rarely met as well, because she's, while I was still in elementary school and middle school, she's already been busy and working with her own stuff, and we rarely met and talk. It just sometimes feels like, and like my parents, when I'm with them, they really talk about my sister as well. It sometimes feels as if I am the only child. So usually, I mean, my parents, both of them are still like present, but for most of the time when I was growing up, I don't get to see one. It's hard. I mean, there's very little time that I actually see like both my mom and dad at the same place with me. When I was like before my third grade, my mom accompanied me in Hong Kong. She worked in a bank. She worked in a bank there, and I grew up under her influence. But at that time, my dad was at Shanghai, staying with my older sister, supporting her with her university entrance exams. But then, afterwards, my mom had to, because of her, because of the company, the bank she works, she had worked in, they had some special arrangements. So my mom had to end up switching her place with dad. She had to go to Shanghai and work instead. And then my dad just came to Hong Kong and took care of me, and has taken care of me up till today. So, like, although like my parents don't see each other very often, but sometimes when it's holidays, school holidays, or even public holidays, then either my mom will come down to Hong Kong and visit me, or me and dad will go to my mom's place and stay there for the holiday. And up to this point, you might think that, oh, poor you, you're like almost an orphan, right? You're living your life as if your parents got divorced. You didn't get to see your mom or dad for a long time. Do you miss them or something? Do you wish that your family could be together for like a longer period of time? Well, actually, I, like, at this moment, I think it's best if it's like, I think having my parents separated into places, only having one of them watching me grow, is actually a blessing to me, because yeah, my mom and dad don't necessarily have the best relationship, and just every time they met, there's a lot of fights and argues and just a lot of threats for divorcing. Basically like that. They're not only like, up to this point, they're not only trying to tolerate each other, but sometimes they're just, I think it's better off if they got divorced, really, because they had like no respect for each other. They see each other as inferiors. They try to guilt and shame each other, and they just, well, I hardly see any love in their relationship, to be frank. But it is what it is, right? A lot of parents are actually, I mean, especially in Asian countries, are acting in similar ways like my parents. They just, I mean, their own relationship are already at the blink of, like, almost gonna, almost gonna fall apart, and they both are not doing anything to mend their relationship. However, they're only, nor will they, like, take a step back and step away from their marriage, because for the sake of their child, they want to ensure their children, like, give their children sort of a complete family, so that that's the reason, that's the only reason that they have kept their marriage for so long. But it's really, sometimes it's really better off for the child that their parents really got divorced. Better to have, like, only staying with one parent and having the other one visit from time to time, but kept in a very peaceful and friendly manner, environment, rather than having the parents forced to stay together, but there's a lot of fighting and argument and just a lot of frustration and heartbreaks from time to time. It's really better off to, that's my opinion, and I sincerely believe that my parents are way better off if they divorce with each other. They're just not meant to be with in that state anymore, to the point where it's a moment where marriage still sticking together will do so much more harm than good to either of them. So as you have heard me describing my family, my situation with my parents, you can imagine that I wasn't typically growing up in a happy and healthy environment for the most of the time. Even when one of the parents is not with me, I still don't get a lot of moments of peace and relax, because both of them had very high expectations on me. High expectations in terms of academics. Let's start with my mom, because she's my first influence in my life. So before I was in kindergarten, she was already buying me a lot of those preschool like learning materials. Most of them, I mean, they're all in English, and she just wanted me to, like, there's a famous saying in Asian society culture, it's called winning at the starting point. She just wanted me to win, to lead other children when I was very young. So she wanted me to have a greater advantage than those other kids. So she made me watch a lot of cartoons, those baby educational art cartoons in English, even before I was in kindergarten. And after I got into, my first grade in elementary school, she was already signing me a lot of, like, those extra curriculum courses. Like, for example, she, like, quote unquote, forced me to take on my flute lessons for flute. She was originally planning to get me to learn the piano, but she thinks that there's way too much competition, and the society is saturated with students and with children having the ability to play the piano. She wants me to be special and superior at the same time, so she made me do another instrument, which is flute. and she also signed me up for a lot of other variety of courses, those shenanigans like ballet classes, which I only attended to, and chess class and other painting courses, which I have all quitted in the end, except for my flute courses. And in terms of my academics, she was very overly anxious and concerned for my academic performance, to a point that she expects me to learn all the stuff that they teach in school way before the she expects me to learn all the syllabus of the course even before the classes even start. I remember, like, usually in holidays and summer vacations, I would spend most of time in the in the newspaper room of my clubhouse, just getting my hands on those math practices that my mom bought from the bookstores. And she also made me do a lot of grammar and vocab practices as well, just to try to get me ahead of everyone else. Right. So my childhood is rather miserable and just too pushy, right? I mean, so because of all the concerns from my mom, at a very young age, I already developed a strong sense of competitiveness. I wanted to be better than everyone else, and as my grades back then were very good, were pretty decent as well. I mean, I was managed to get to the top of my class, and I have a natural sense of superiority. And my mom would say that has always continued to mention to me, told me that I was special, that I was smart, and I believe so, and I just wanted to believe the same way as well. So at the time, I thought I was better than everyone else, and I was a genius, I was smart, and I was destined to achieve greatness, to achieve very high level of success that I would get acknowledged by everyone else in the world. I've dreamt of getting into the Times Magazine header and just to become world famous. That was my ambition at the time. Doing whatever it takes, or rather just being myself naturally, and my talent will flow, others will see how worthy I am just for being myself, because I was so much better than them. I was so intelligent, I was smart, I was special, and one day I'll be recognized all across the billboard. That was my little ambition. And moving on to talk about my middle school. But before that, I'll talk about my other aspects in my life when I was in elementary school. So I mentioned my academics, but also my extra curriculum activities, which at that point I had only kept on playing the flute. But I absolutely hated it. Hated playing the flute. My mom always compared my journey in my instrumental practices to my sister. One of the reasons why she wanted me to learn an instrument so bad, one of the reasons is that all the other parents are making their children do so as well. And another thing is that my sister, she's an expert in piano, and she is very different from me, that she actually loved what she was doing. She loved playing the piano. And because of that, my mom thought that I would enjoy playing my instrument as well. And she thinks that it's the best if a child learns at least one kind of instrument. According to her, it's better for the child's growth. But right now, I really don't see any benefits to it. But anyway, so I was absolutely miserable with my flute lessons. My mom, at that time, later on replaced by my dad, they both like wanted me to practice flute every day for at least an hour, because that's what my sister had done so before she when she was still trying to level up her, to polish her piano skills. And they had pretty unrealistic expectations over me. They, according to them, they had wanted me to, in this hour of practice, they wanted me to play the flute non-stoppingly, from skimming, jumping from songs to songs, and also they wanted me to play those difficult songs, not some too easy, not repetitive, repeating the same song for over and over again. And so now looking back, I think this situation is just, I mean, their expectations are just far beyond, just quite impossible to reach. But at that time, I do not know that, because I saw my sister can do so successfully, and I don't really saw that as a problem. So at that time, I just pushed myself very hard just to get that aim of getting the hour of practice done. But because like my parents' standards are way too high, so almost every time I just fail to meet their needs, and they would just punish me and say that I was lazy, I was not working hardworking enough, and I just internalized those thoughts. I believed that I was lazy and unmotivated. And it's been one of my limiting beliefs for a very long time. I'll just put it here. And when I was in elementary school, I mean, before I was in elementary school, I had always been the moment when I was born, I had always been a quiet and shy person. And my mom has always told me the story. The story of of her one time bringing me to see a sort of like a psychologist, and she had and that psychologist has commented me saying that I was unwilling to share my priorities and just being reactive and not open, not very willing to open up to people. Well, this is kind of true, and it's still one of my personality traits up till now, but my mom had always stated the story and just saying that how different I am compared to other people. And I was aware of that as well, because when I was in kindergarten and elementary school, I always couldn't find friends. I wasn't in among the group. I wasn't among the happy, loud group of kids that chatters and plays along. And those kids can blend into other playgroups very effectively, but I just couldn't do so. I don't know what, at the time I didn't know what was blocking me, but I just found it very hard to actually to make friends. Whenever there's a large group of people out in the room, I'm always that particular person that sits at the back, at the corner of the room, and just not interacting and socializing with everyone, just sit there and quietly observe the crowd. Because of this trait, I wasn't able to make many friends around people in my elementary school. I had only this one friend, which is a boy. His name is Anson. We have been friends from like first grade up till sixth grade. He was basically like my only friend. And so he was that typical kid that was very fascinated by the by military stuff, like those like weapons, like tanks and just those battleships and all sort of things like that. And he's also like, he also thought that he was just that typical kid that's into the gangster culture of the US. I'll say it like that. And under his influence, I was also very into weaponries, battles and wars, and like just basically like and also the gangster culture, like just grabbing a gun, chilling out, smoking in the alley and just swearing and swearing or getting completely wasted because of alcohol. I was very into that kind of culture as well because of the influence of my friend. But at that time, most of the girls at my age, they were they're either focused on those Disney princess stuff, or rather just, you know, celebrities and pop culture. At the time, K-pop was already a thing, and a lot of my classmates were very we're just hardcore fans of those boy bands, right? My interest and hobby was very different from other people, especially the girls at the time. And because of that, it was even harder for me to socialize with them. And for some reasons, many of my classmates, many of people around me up till today find me rather unsettling. So they really interact with me. And so I was even more lonely and miserable with only one friend to hang out in school. And this situation had improved when I was in middle school and high school, because I just continued to bring my old habits when I grew up, and because of that, I was still that corner kid, too overly quiet. Some of my teachers had tried to help me to socialize with other people, to make friends, but I just couldn't, you know, just keep on the relationship with them. I just couldn't make like a lot of close friends. I mean, even normal friends, high bad friends, I don't have any of them as well. When I was in middle school and the first 2 years of high school. And and I just felt so different from everyone else, because like I felt like as if an important part of my life was missing. The moment where everyone, I mean, usually at weekends where everyone just hang out with their friends, go to dinners, go to sing karaoke. Oh, by the way, I still haven't went to one single karaoke up to this point. So when everyone just hangs out and chills with their friends in holidays and after school, I would go straight home. I would stay at home all day and just surfing the net, watching YouTube videos, watching animes, and that would be my day. Typical day when I was before high school. That's why I feel so isolated and different, insufficient compared to other people for a very long time. So that's the first part of my story. As this is going way longer than I expected, so I'm gonna split it in parts. And hopefully I will see you guys tomorrow to talk about the rest of my story. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Thank you.